Ephesians chapter number 5. And pray for my voice this morning, if you would. It's a little better than Wednesday night, but it's still not where it needs to be. And I told somebody this the other day, and they laughed. And I said, hey, be careful. But I told them, I said, this morning's message may just have to be quiet and quick. And they laughed and said it. And I think they said amen. So I don't want to hear too many amens out there, okay? Quiet and quick. That's not the norm. But anyway, we'll do our best this morning. You pray for my voice and that the Lord will help me get through what we need to get through. But everybody doing all right this morning? Everybody, if you're blessed, say amen. I know it. We certainly are. I believe we're the most blessed nation on the face of this earth. I really believe that. And I just happen to believe we live in the most blessed state on the face of this earth. I got one amen out of that now. No, we're grateful to be where we are in God's blessings. And I'm often reminded that to whom much is given, much is required. And so we have great responsibility. And thankful for you. Thankful for what you do each week for the Lord. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for your prayers, church. I'm thankful for your testimony of Christ and your servant's heart. I am so grateful for each of you, what the Lord is doing here. We are continuing our series on the Spirit-filled home. The Lord has just really been leading us through these messages, and I know God's been helping me and strengthening me through His Word. And we have gone through two messages now. The first one was on the wife and her role in the marriage. And last week we talked about the role of the husband. And the husband, men, the husbands are going to have several messages, okay? And we hope that'll be an encouragement to all of us. It's not that I'm picking on you, but again, as I mentioned before, Paul spends twice as much time talking about the husband and his role and responsibility as he does with the wife in this passage. And men, there's a great responsibility there, not to take away from the wives, but honestly, we want to make sure that we are being godly leaders, Spirit-filled leaders in our home. And some of you young men out there, believe it or not, those of you who are in high school, it's likely maybe not so likely, but in the next 10 years, some of you will be married. And that will be a reality. And you say, well, these messages don't apply to me. Well, they do. You'll be there one day. And quite honestly, it gives you a better idea how to pray. For wives for your husbands and husbands for your wives, and then also young people. It helps remind you of the great responsibility you have to pray for your mom and your dad and how they can grow in grace and fulfill the roles God has called them to being the wives, husbands, and mothers and fathers that the Lord wants them to be. And so we're going to continue. I want to give somewhat a review this morning. Points we went over last week. The title of the message was Love Like None Other. And we began the message going over seven characteristics. I believe we covered four of them. The first one was, what kind of love is this and that Christ had for the church? And that's what we're talking about. And by the way, we cannot truly understand the sacred union of marriage until we understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ and His church. That is an absolute necessity for us to understand the power of marriage, the depth of marriage, and the meaning of marriage. When we understand what the purpose of Jesus Christ and His church is, and that's exactly what Paul is teaching in this book. And so we're looking at the commandment that the husbands were given. And that commandment was to be the head of their home and to lead. And they were to do that through love. Christ-like love. Godly love. And so just by way of review, we're going to look at number one was unconditional. Unconditional, we know that Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. He gave it unconditionally. No matter what, He's saying, I'm choosing to love you. There's no conditions upon that. And we're grateful this morning. I'm grateful for that truth. And we talked about how the husbands should love their wives the same way. Number two, that it was an unmerited love. This is a love that you can't pay for. It's a love that's unearned. It's unmerited love. That's the kind of love that Christ gives us. Eternal love every day. It's unchangeable. And then we looked at that very truth there. It's an unchanging love. It doesn't change day by day. It doesn't fluctuate. And then fourthly, we looked at, lastly, the last point was, we looked at this love as unrelenting. Unrelenting love. God is ever pursuing us. And He is ever going after us because of His fervent love for the church. And that's a comfort to me. And I hope it's a comfort to you. But then when I make this application to the husbands and the responsibility to always be pursuing your wife, I trust that God will help us and give us great victory in that. We're thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving and all the things we can be thankful for. Man, I hope you thank God, those of you that who are married here. Husbands, I hope you thank God for your wife. I hope you thank God often for her. And I hope that you tell her that you're thankful for her. I hope you express that often. And it's one thing to say, well, she knows that. But I want to tell you what, she may know that, but it helps to express it. And there's that point of just unrelenting pursuit of our wives and showing that Christ-like love. But then we're going to pick up on part two of these messages on the husband and his responsibility and his role. And I do not think I will be able to get through what I was wanting to do originally. So this may just turn into a few more messages on the husband. But the good thing about it is that there is great application for all of us. And that brings to the point for this morning, the message is on the subject of this characteristic of love, Christ-like love, is the characteristic of being undivided. Love undivided, or undivided love, is something that we know that Christ has for us. And we know that because of what He says in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Would you look there with me just for a moment? Hold your place in Ephesians. You can put your bulletin there or whatever. And go back and look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35. And notice what it says here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All right? Remember that. And the answer to that is, he's going to go through and list all of these possible things that could separate us from his love. He goes through them and he goes on to verse 38 and says that he is persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. And he goes on to list, and notice at the end of verse 39, shall be able to what? Separate us. So be comforted this morning, church, and be thankful that nothing, and I mean nothing, shall ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. You can't think of anything. You could even try to use your imagination to think up some scenario, some sin, some obstacle, some trial. Whatever the case may be, the truth of the Word of God states that nothing shall separate us from Christ. In other words, this love is undivided. It cannot be divided. It's impossible. Now, I will say this, Christ will let nothing come between Himself and His bride. Christ will allow nothing to come between Himself and His bride. He will make sure of that on His part. And He is faithful in that. And husbands, in the same way, that Christ will allow nothing to come between Himself and His bride, which is the church. Husbands, nothing should come between you and your wife. Nothing. An undivided love is what we are commanded to have. And Jesus taught on this subject of the husband and wife coming together. Take your place there from Romans and go back to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. You're still holding your place over there in Ephesians, but go over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 19. Jesus is speaking on the subject of divorce with some self-righteous Pharisees and know-it-alls. And He brings out a truth here that just hits to the core of what God meant about this being undivided and the marriage. And notice what it says in chapter 19, verses number 5 through 6. The Word of God says, and said in verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and that's very clear, and shall cleave to his wife, and that's very clear, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus spoke on this undivided love in the marriage. And notice what He says here. He says leave. That word leave is exactly what it means. It's exactly what it says. It means the idea of the person, that man that's been under his parents' guidance and rule there in the home. And he goes off and is going to get married. He leaves that home. He leaves their care and their ruling, if you will, their watch care. He leaves that. And he goes to the wife that God is giving him. And it says that he goes to that wife and he cleaves to her. That word cleave there is the idea. It means simply to be glued to your wife, to be put together by God. And it is to be a relationship that is permanent. And that's the way God intended it. And some would say it means being stuck together. And some of you ladies may say, yes, for 25 years I have been stuck with him. But you know, honestly, that's exactly right. But being stuck together is supposed to have a positive connotation and not a negative. It is a good to be stuck together with our spouse. I like what Billy Graham said when asked about his secret of love and being married 54 years to the same person. He said this, please note it, Ruth and I are happily incompatible. You get it? Brother Graham, who's now in glory, and his wife too, they had learned the secret to be happily incompatible, because you know what? Two sinners living under the same roof are going to find themselves many times incompatible. Amen? But we see here that there is a cleaving. That means a indissolvable bond that God brings. And I see here also he says one flesh. Now that carries the idea again of two becoming one. It is a permanent oneness. And that God gives and is glorious. But one of the things I noticed about this verse, if you'll look there with me back in Matthew 19, verse number 6, I believe it is. Notice it says here, what, in verse 6, wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. And notice this word, what therefore God hath joined together. Notice what it doesn't say. It's important. Notice that it doesn't say who. Who God put together. It says what. He is speaking not of the people. He's speaking of the sacred union we call marriage. That is what God has put together, what God has designed for the man and woman coming together to complete one another for the purpose of glorifying God. And he's saying, let that be put together. And I know that it's been said and asked in counseling those that have gone through a life of experience of divorce and say, well, what about now? I'm remarried. And you know what I would just say very clearly and from the Word of God? This means about your current marriage. That's what it's applying to. Your current marriage, who you're married to right now, and knowing this truth, this applies to you. And this is what you're in it for. And this is what we see God wanting us to do. Now, we know that we are to let nothing tear it apart. It does happen. But we need to do everything in our power and by God's power not to let that happen. Now, the sacred and divine union is indeed a mystery. But we even know it back in our context of Ephesians. It goes on to see that Paul says, I speak of a mystery concerning Christ and the church and concerning marriage. It is. We don't understand how these two become one supernaturally. But indeed, it is the will of God. I do believe it's speaking at the core of this union is it is embracing one another, the husband and the wife, embracing one another physically, mentally, and spiritually. I believe there is an all-encompassing union there that is supernatural. It takes two parts becoming one part. And I want to tell you this glue that I'm speaking of and what God is speaking of here in His Word about cleaving, it's not any cheap glue, I'm here to tell you. This glue that I'm talking about is a divine glue. And it is designed never to come apart when done God's way. You know, you go to Lowe's or Depot, Home Depot or whatever, and you're wanting to get some epoxy glue or whatever, and the two parts, and you gotta follow the directions, and you know, sometimes we don't like doing that, but you have to put in a certain amount of each, and then you have to let it set a certain amount before it really fixes itself until it truly adheres to the object that you've given it to, and for the adhesive to work properly, you gotta use it the way it's instructed. And I believe that is what God is saying here. This cleaving that God puts together is truly powerful. Now, what are some common things that come between a husband and wife? Or should I say, tear apart? These things I'm about to mention to you are good things in themselves, but are often wrongly justified to the point of causing great stress and eventually separation in the marriage. So something that we, as husbands, you will take the lead in this, but wives, you too are responsible for contributing, and the whole family, in fact. But husbands, please take heed. And as you will take the leadership as the head of your home in these areas. And again, what I'm going to mention, nobody get mad at me, because again, I'm not saying that they're bad in themselves. I'm saying that they can be. And the first one is probably the most obvious because of what Jesus mentioned, okay? And that same passage we just read in Matthew. One of the most common dividers of a marriage, unfortunately, is, you guessed it, in-laws. It can be one of those areas where it can cause harm to the marriage instead of help for the marriage. And that's where we have to look to the Word of God and see, what did Jesus say about in-laws? Well, we see very clearly, number one, He says when you get married, you leave them. Okay? Now, that means exactly what it says. But to what degree do we take that truth? Well, I believe that we have to understand that when the husband leaves the parents and when the wife leaves the parents, there is a leaving and cleaving to one another. And now I believe parents can have an advisory role in the marriage. Don't get me wrong. I think that's important. They can have an advisory role, but get it, please get it. They do not have an authoritative role. Can I say that again? Parents have an advisory role, and they can, to a certain degree, but not an authoritative role. That goes away. And so parents here, that your kids are married, let me encourage you. Do not get your nose too much into their business. You learn to respect that. Now, you can give admonition and you can give warning. I'm thankful for my father-in-law. He's been so gracious and just a godly man. And he has never, I've never felt like Dad Ike DeFlesh has imposed upon Joanne and I's marital relationship. In fact, quite the opposite, only helpful. And he's never, I felt like, imposed. But there are times where Dad has pulled me aside and said, "Look, son, let me just share some things with you that might be helpful." And sometimes, even in child rearing, Dad has given me a kind rebuke. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful for my dad-in-law who did that, for me. And it helped me tremendously. And so there is a role there, but it is not to be abused. Godly advice is very appropriate. But when that advice is not heeded, there must be no resentment, because that can be the temptation of an in-law. Oh, they're not listening and they continue, they're persistent, and then they start talking bad to the other spouse, and I've seen it happen too many times where the mom-in-law perhaps gets on the phone with their son and saying, "She's not treating you right, she's not doing this, not doing that, you know the things I used to do for you." And I want to tell you, that will divide a marriage quickly. And men of God, husbands, you got to get some backbone and tell your mother to politely be quiet. "My marriage does not concern you. I love you, Mama, but this is my wife, and I love her more than I love you." And you better say that, because that's what the Bible commands. Bible does not tell that the son and mother become one. No, it doesn't say that the wife and the children become one. It doesn't say the dad and children become one. The Word of God says that the husband and the wife become one. And you got to be careful. You know, the old joke, it goes, everyone knows it. The difference between an outlaw and an in-law is what? Outlaws are wanted. Y'all have heard that before. In-laws can be a blessing, but they can be a great divider too. And you have to be careful, folks. And husbands, take the lead in that. If you detect that with your parents or even with her parents, be a man and go talk to her daddy. Have some backbone and say, "Sir, I love you and I respect you, but you did let me marry your daughter, and I'm thankful for that. But listen, she is my wife, and she and I will make the decisions." And you have to be able to take a gracious stand there. And wives, the same way. It goes both ways, and it's important to do that graciously but firmly. And it's terrible, you know, I don't recommend this at all. But you men, they sometimes in-laws can get involved in a marriage when they're not even there. Their presence isn't even there. But man, you just make the ignorant and dumb decision of saying something like, "Honey, this apple pie is so good, but it's not quite like Mama's." Man, that is not a compliment, okay? It really is not. And don't make comments like that. It might be true, but just don't say it, okay? And hey, I'll just go ahead and make the application to you ladies too, that are wives, future wives, and who are currently married. Don't make comments like, you know, "Honey, this steak you grilled, boy, it's good, but it doesn't quite taste like Daddy's." Oh, talk about hurting the heart. It might be true, ladies, but don't say that, okay? It's going to tear them down. And you know what? We can, and that, those are just little simple, funny illustrations, but it can go much deeper than that. You know, men can be very cruel in their toward their wives and look down on them because maybe they're not as spiritual as their mother. That's ungodly men. Same thing with ladies. You can look down on your husband because maybe they're not quite as spiritual as your daddy. That's wrong. You are one flesh, and you ought to have a godly respect for one another and let nothing come between you. One is in-laws, but then another one, again, nothing bad in itself, but the other one is this. You probably guessed it. It could have been number one, too, but one of the great dividers, if a parents allow it, is this, and that is children. Children. Now, children were given to the home, and they do require great attention, some more than others. They require great love, and they deserve that, and God commands us to give that. But can I just say this as dogmatically as possible, church? God never intended the children to come between the husband and wife. Never. Under no circumstance. Is it to divide your love and affection and commitment one to another? That is only husbands for your wife. Wife, it is only for your husbands. Listen, can I just go on the record and say this? Your men, your wives ought to be your favorite person on this earth. Number one. God is number one overall, but when it comes down from the human standpoint, from the relationships, let me tell you something, man. If your wife's not your best friend right now, make her your best friend. Be the number one. I've been in the kitchen, and it's kind of a simple illustration, but I've been in the kitchen, Joanna, doing things, or in the living room, the kids are there, sort of a family, you know, family environment time of a day, and of course, go up and give Joanna a hug, and of course, you know how the kids are, sometimes when that happens, they're like, ew, you know, and that kind of stuff, but a lot of times, the little ones I've noticed, I give Joanna a hug and embrace her, one of those little rugrats tries to come up and squirm up right between us. I'm like, what are you doing? They're trying to push us away, you know. And I know why they're doing that. They're little sinners. And they're jealous. And they want mommy's love, or they want daddy's love. They want that affection, which we should give them that too. But that's a simple illustration. But you know what? It can be a picture of, if we're not careful, husbands and wives, we let children do that in a very deep and real and damaging way if we're not careful. They have a place, but I have told my children, and they've asked me, Daddy, who do you love more, mommy or us? And I tell them, I said, well, honey, first of all, the love I have for you and for mommy is somewhat different. I said, I'd give my life for you. I'd do anything for you. I love you to the moon and back. But I said, mommy is my number one. Because God didn't tell me that I was going to be one with my children. He told me that I become one with my wife. She, therefore, is number one. And wives, you should look at the same way with your husbands. You do have a special gift. I do believe that God has given, and it's wonderful the way your affection can be for the children and the comfort, and especially in those younger years, and it's necessary. But you have to be disciplined, and you have to be mindful that they don't come between your love for your husband. You see, children can be a divider, but may God help children actually be one who unifies. That's what they're intended to do. Because of the husband and wife being in agreement, many times child rearing, there will be disagreements on disciplinary actions and the way we do this and the way we do that. And hey, that's life, folks. We all struggle with that. We all do. That's a reality. But here's the thing you got to come to. And dad, you got to take the lead on this. You have to sit down and have a gracious conversation. Hear your wife's input. Hear her input. And you talk together. You pray together. But at the end of the day, men, you make the final decision. And wives, you submit to that decision. As long as it's not sin. All right? And what you do is you come together and work collectively in that. And that way the children know, and this is so important, the children know that mom and dad are unified. Because by the way, your children know whether you're getting along. They pick up on it instantaneously. They know if mom and dad are cold to each other. They know if they're only existing together under the same roof. Children know that. And parents that ought not be, your children ought to see that love and affection, that forgiveness when you do get carnal and you start yelling at each other. I got some good advice about that yelling. The only time that parents should be yelling at each other if the house is on fire. But you see, children need to see that, and they need to see that mom and dad are on the same team, and you work against one, you're working against both mom and dad. And you see that this applies to this agape love, because nothing's going to come between me and my wife. And nothing, men, should become between you and your wife and all those family members that are here. You ought to pray for that for your parents. You ought to pray for that those around you. There will be a great picture of Christ and the church. We see children, but we also see thirdly, again, this is a needed attribute, a needed force, but this is one that can come between dad and mom, husband and wife, and that is this: work. Work. Dad, you and I, husbands, we have a God-given, gift or ability to want to provide for our homes. That's why I believe God created us that way. And we have a drive in us to be sometimes overzealous in that accomplishment. And we have to be careful about that. That's got to be tempered. Again, this all goes back to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when I'm tempered, the work is not going to get between me and my wife. And for you wives out there who are currently working in the job force there and the workforce, you too have to make sure that your job does not come between you and your husband and your commitment and love for him and affection for him. Now listen, let me make some statements here, lest I be mistaken. It's one thing to work in order to provide for your family. But it's another thing when your job is more important and more enjoyable to you than being with your family. Did you get that? Please understand that, because there's a balance. We work, we provide, it's necessary. Sometimes that does require overtime. We're not denying that. We're not being imbalanced here. Understand. But the fact of the matter is, there can come a place where when we get in our flesh, the work can get between our spouse because of what it's doing to us. It's driving us apart. And that we should take note of and say, this is not the will of God if we're going to let it drive us apart. Now, there are seasons. Again, I think of our military. I think of those men and women who sacrifice and they leave their families from 8 months to a year and go all the way across the globe. And that's an honorable decision. I'm thankful for their sacrifice. But I will say that that's the exception. That's not the general rule that takes place for those that are here and homes that are here. I understand there are seasons that work's going to be more than others. And there are certain weeks where men are going to have to be gone more, or the wives, whatever the case may be. May we be careful. Husbands, God has designed us to be the providers of our homes, but not at the expense of losing our families. I'm reminded of this as I hear of pastors' kids who are now bitter towards their daddy and towards the ministry because they ever hardly saw their daddy. And I am thankful for you folks here that have graciously reminded me that, Pastor, you need to get home. You need to spend some time with the family. I appreciate that reminder, and I welcome those reminders because I don't. I could, you know, we could justify it, man. Well, I'm providing for the home, and this is in me, and these things need to be done. But listen, there's times where we got to set that stuff down and go and be with our wives and go and be with our children and spend time with them. I didn't get any amens right there. It must be convicting because I believe it is my own life. We see that, men, we have to be balanced in this. And if it has to us go talking to a boss, let's go talk to him. If it has to be changing around some things, let's change it. But I'm telling you right now, in my opinion, I do believe that our children and our wives would much rather do without things and have their daddy or husband home than to have all the things in the world and never see daddy. We got to be careful, men. Undivided love. There are also not only these things that we've mentioned around work or children or in-laws, but there's hobbies, interests that that sadly some husbands they prefer spending time with hobbies rather than their spouse, and that's dangerous, men. And you just know nothing wrong with having a hobby. I think every man and woman should have an out to where they can go and relieve some stress and enjoy some time of things they enjoy. But listen, don't ever let those things come between you and your spouse. Amen. In fact, I encourage you to do this if you don't do this already. And this is where you do have to sacrifice, and this is where you do have to humble yourself. But you ought to make it a point to do find hobbies you can do together. Men, I know that it's no fun going to Macy's and walking around, okay? Or wherever it might be. It's not the funnest thing in the world, okay, to whatever the case may be. But, and then ladies, you can do the same thing, and you may not like camping or fishing or something, and you could go across the board. But the fact of the matter is, it is great to find a hobby that you can do together and enjoy that time. And as we talked about last week, it gives you an opportunity to date again and just be together and laugh together. It's important to not let hobbies, individuals, individual things, where it may be careful that it doesn't divide. But also there's friends. Friends can be a divider. They can be a uniter or divider. Nothing wrong with spending time with friends, but not at the expense of neglecting your wife or your husband. I've seen it happen time and time again, and it's a trait in the world. I remember I used to see it with a lot of my worldly friends, especially when I was lost. That boy, we buddies were hanging out all the time, and in the back of my mind, I thought it was a little bit different, but you know, my wife was never around. It's just hanging out with the boys. And I want to tell you right now, you got to be careful with that, because if that comes between you and your wife, it's a divider. Ladies, the same thing. You may have some girlfriends you like hanging out with, shopping with, nothing wrong with that. But if you have some friends that you give more attention and affection to, and in that regard more commitment to than your husband, it's going to be a divider. You can't let that happen. You've got to guard against that. Use those friends to bring you closer together. Your spouse should be your best friend, no exceptions. And then I think about entertainment. I could park there a while, but I'm not. But it can be a divider. Men, you need to take that control. If you have a TV, you need to take that control sometimes. And there's a thing at the top called a power button. And you need to turn it off. I may be talking to a sister in Christ, a wife that needs to do the same thing. Now listen, I know it's about to get real quiet in here, but I am going there. Y'all know I was going there. But men, husbands and wives, this right here needs to be turned off for you to be able to spend some quality time with your spouse. You need a schedule to turn this thing off, because to me, if we're not careful, hey, catch it. If we're not careful, this little mobile phone, this right here, it'll almost be like, till death do us part. Oh, you can take anything, but please don't take my phone. We laugh because we know it's true, don't we? We can get attached to these things, and I talked about it on Wednesday night. They're addicting, and sometimes husband and wife can be sitting next to each other, across from the table each other in the restaurants, instead of gazing in each other's eyes in love and thanking God for what He's doing and carrying each other's burdens and sharpening one another. We're sitting there glued to our phone when God says you need to be glued together. And we're letting these mobile devices and entertainment get in between our marriages, and it's flat out wrong. And men of God, get some backbone, and may we just stand up and say, honey, we can't allow this entertainment to get between us. And wife, I hope you and your spirit will say, honey, you're exactly right. We need to look each other more in the eyes. We need to talk more. Let's put these phones down. Let's put them away. These phones are so technologically advanced now. You got scheduled times that you can have. You want screen time limited. You can go on here. We're without excuse. Don't let this thing get between your marriage. Kids, if you see your kids giving more attention to their phone than the time with family and parents, it's then controlling them. Just, you know what to do. You know, in closing here, and trying to think of an illustration to help guard against things that divide us, because there is so much that wants to get between our marriages, is it not? And not just in our marriages, but in our relationships, our daily relationships, especially the godly relationships. There are things in this world trying to get in between us and drive us apart when we're supposed to be sharpening one another and encouraging one another. And you know, I don't know if any of you watched the game yesterday, but it was a good game because Georgia won. But you know, one of the things that a lot of people, you know, one of the least, I would say the least recognized team members on a football team are usually, what group you men know? Offensive line. Those are, most of the times, they're the least recognized, but sometimes they are the most vital because they provide the protection for the quarterback and many times the running back who's seeking to find that hole. And these are some names that might come to mind as I think about that. I think about Justin Schaefer and Andrew Thomas and Trey Hill and Isaiah Wilson, Solomon Kinley. Those names may not mean to see y'all, but some of you, there is. Those are the offensive linemen of the Georgia Bulldogs. And there were many more that I could name. And those men, what they do, boy, Jake Fromm, their number one goal is to protect that boy from getting hit, from getting tackled. It's to open up that line for Swift and others to get through and to score those touchdowns. And there's a mentality to guard at all cost within the rules. Guard. Everything in them, every strength for four quarters. Kirby Smart pours into them boys and other coaches. You got to give all four quarters. And can I just make it an application here this morning, a spiritual application. Husbands, guard your relationship with great fervency. You are on the front lines, men. And you have to take the initiative and you have to have that courage and that humility and grace to stand against anything that gets between you and your wife. Because God's going to hold you accountable for that. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to do just that. And ladies, you can participate. The same applies to you. As you see things creeping in, take note. Cleave to your husband and let nothing get between you. May the Lord help us to understand this love that's undivided. Because I'm thankful that I can rejoice tonight that there is nothing that can come between me and my Savior's love. It is always there. It's always fervent. It's always powerful. It's always being poured on me continuously. Continuously. That's my Savior's love. Husbands, same love. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, husbands, love your wives. Would you pray with me, please? Listen, before I pray, I want to make some application here. Some of you say, "Preacher, I'm tired of coming and hearing all about husbands." Well, can I just remind you of something? That love right there that you just heard about for 40 minutes, that same love Jesus Christ commands every believer to have one for another. So if you can think of a believer in your life that you don't have that kind of love, undivided love, you let your preferences and personalities come between you, offenses, I want to tell you, you're out of the will of God. And you will not have the power of God on your life. And I want to tell you, friend, if that's you, get that right. Make sure you're loving all the brethren with agape love. Wife, you say, "I'm not commanded to love my husband." Well, you are in an indirect way. He's a believer. And if he's not, you show the love of Christ to win him. Vice versa. Listen, I don't know what God's doing here this morning. God may be dealing with some husbands, but I believe we ought to be transparent. I believe husbands this morning in this invitation, you ought to be willing to come and even find a place at this altar and say, "Dear God, let nothing come between me and my wife. I want to guard it, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me power. Give us unction. Help us." Wives, the same thing. Praying, "Lord, let nothing come between us." Children, praying. Oh yes, may God help us in this church. Hey, church member, can you pray, "God, let nothing come between my brother and sister who's a member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church." May it be an undivided love. If it's not, we're out of the will of God. We must get it right, brethren. Would you stand with me, please, as the instruments begin to play? You let...